So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in the book of James in the first chapter. I wanted to share some things through this chapter here that deal with us as Christians, because just because we came to become a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we are perfect people, and doesn't mean that we are going to have a perfect world here, and doesn't mean that everything is gumdrops and roses, right? It's not all sweet. We live in a horrendous world that is filled with sin. And we live in a corrupted world, and it is not God's fault, it is not God's doing, it is our own doing. And if you have children, I forgot, you can go off to children's church. Sorry about that, Phil. I told him I was going to do that. We're a little off our normal schedule today, but it's all good. But in the book of James, James is a book that just kind of tells us how to live life and live it the right way. The world will tell us to live different and contrary to God's word, but we are believers and we are to listen and do what God's word tells us to do. But here we are in the beginning of James, and it strikes us, as he says in verse 2, he says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." We are all going to go through some trials, and the thing is, it's going to be various trials, okay? There are some things that happen in our life that is my fault. There are things that happen in my life that I cause that are my fault, and I cause those problems. We as people, we cause some of our own problems. Is that true? Yes. Sometimes we have things that happen in our life that we have trials, and those things that are not our fault. There are circumstances out of our control. Okay, there are those things that are out of our control. A car wreck that you didn't, that was not your fault, that is out of your control. Cancer is out of our control. There are circumstances and trials that happen that are out of our control. But we will face some of those because we live in a broken world. We will face some of those trials. There's also going to be some of those trials where someone has done something to you and has caused a trial in your life. And those are very difficult to handle. Because we want to be aggressive. We want to counteract. We want to get revenge. And so we have to be very, very careful. We have to look at it different than the world looks at it. We have to do this. We have to look at the scriptures, and the scripture tells us that we are counted a joy. Now that's hard for me to grasp, to count it a joy. But only way I can get through some of those trials is knowing this, that God is testing me through those trials. Right? Because when we look at the next verse, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay? We need to have patience as believers. So we need to understand, and we need to look through life as we're living it, wherever we are on our road in life, that just because we get through one trial and an obstacle, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be another one right behind it. Most likely there's going to be a bigger one down the road that you're going to have to go through. And these other ones are helping you grow your faith to be able to get through those big ones down there. But I'm always reminding, God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful, and God will bring us through. But he's telling us that this is a testing of our faith. This is a testing that shows us who we are. If we didn't have testing, how do we know how we are and on what we believe? Our faith has to be tested from time to time. And we have to stay strong, and we will find out if we are of what God has called us to be. But not only does James talk about that, he moves down here in verse... Now I'm going to skip a few verses because we don't have all day to go through all of them. But I want to jump down to number 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I don't always know how to get through my trials. I don't always know how to get through my trials. But I know this, word here just says that I need to ask God for wisdom. If we lack wisdom, the Bible tells us to ask God for wisdom. Now we have to understand, if we're asking God for something, we don't go in it with not having faith. We go in it having faith that God's going to give us what we're asking for. So if you're going through a trial, you don't know how to handle it, the best thing to do, first of all, is to begin to know that you can't control it. It's out of your hands. You don't have the answers, but God does. All right? God has the answers. And there's my mind. Have you all ever been in a situation where you didn't know whether to go left or right, up or down? Pick 4, pick 2, pick 1. Go down this road or go down that road? God is telling us that as human beings, we're going to do and be in those situations. But the Bible tells us that we can ask God for wisdom. Now, a lot of times, God's wisdom is where? Right in His Word. Right? Right in His Word. But also we know that God's wisdom also comes from the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit lives inside the believers, right? Is inside of us. We are not that smart. We are not that smart a people. I'm not that smart of a person. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. So we need to ask God for a godly wisdom, not a worldly wisdom. The world has a lot of things to say and it has a lot of chatter. And it will try to tell you how to do things. But God is specific. God is right. God is pure and is holy. And He will give us the words that we need and the action that we need and the plan that we need to do that. We need to do that. And this wisdom will help us through those trials that we're working through. This wisdom will help us. And when we get through, this wisdom that we're asking for will give us peace that only God can give. I can tell you, you can walk by Christians who have no godly peace. And you can feel it on them. Have you all ever done that? You know that when you're walking by a Christian, you're talking with a Christian, they claim they are a Christian, but they have no peace. Peace comes from a close relationship with God. Peace comes when we ask God to be in the situations that we can't control. Peace comes from God when we can control the situation, but we're asking God for wisdom how to control it in His will. It may look right in the world, it may look right in your own eyes, but if it's not right in God's way, then it's all wrong. Amen? So we need to focus on God's voice, hearing the Holy Spirit, giving us that wisdom, words of wisdom. So if we lack wisdom, God says, listen, I'll give it to you. I'll just give it to you. Because He knows that we need His wisdom. So in verse 18, He moves on. He moves on and He says this. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The world doesn't like to use the word slave, creatures, those kind of things, because today a lot of people feel like that's a degrading word. No, that's just who we are. We are creatures, human beings, created by God. And so when we see this piece here, James continues to tell us that we are like first fruits to God. We're supposed to be the best of everything. The first, the best quality. Why is that? Because we're human beings. We were lost in our sin. We come to know the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died for all mankind. For the forgiveness of their sins, but it is a gift. So you have to, as He reaches out, you got to reach out and take it. It's not your gift until you take it and you receive it. And when you receive it, you also get the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. It's God's Spirit. We begin to understand things we didn't understand before. And so we should be the best people walking on the face of the earth. We should be the first fruits of the way that human beings are. We should be the example to the world. Not the world an example to us, but we should be the example to the world. And the world needs a good example, does it not? And it needs a holy example, a godly example. And we should be like the first fruits. We should be the best of the best. Because of who God is in us. Who Christ is in us. So even though when we go through those trials and we go through those things and those pains and those sorrows, we should still be at our best. You know that you can serve God with a happy heart. I love serving God with a happy heart, don't you? But you know, you can serve God with a sad heart. You can serve God even when you have lost a loved one, when you've lost something in your life and a major setback in your life or your family, you can still serve God and be a first fruit. He expects that. It's a testing of our faith that we don't abandon our relationship with God because of a circumstance. But He moves on again. He moves on. These are tough teachings sometimes for people. Because basically, as we begin to travel through these scriptures, guess what? You have to let go of yourself. You have to let go of control and give that control to God. We control too much in our life and not let God control enough. Is that true? You don't choose to pick to go to church on Sunday. You go because God's called us to go. We do it because we should want to. We shouldn't go to the word of God just because we're in trouble. But when we're in trouble, we should go to the Word of God, but not just when we're in trouble. But we should go to the Word of God daily. Amen? All right. You guys with me today? You guys with me? Okay. All right. So he goes down to verse 22. When we pick up the Word of God, because God speaks through His Word so much. He says, be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we just can't read it today. We have to put it in action in our lives. We have to put it in action in our lives. And we have to put the words that we hear, not just these words we're hearing today, but the whole Word of God, that we just can't be just hearers. There's a lot of hearers. But when you become a doer, you become a doer, the Bible says here that you are blessed. Now, I don't think we understand the word blessed sometimes. I think we struggle with that word. I think we struggle with what that when the Bible says that you're blessed, we just kind of skim over it. I want you to know that when you're blessed, God has given you favor. God is doing something. You're receiving something. And when you get it in this way, you're getting it from God. You know, when you become a believer, you just keep receiving more and more and more from God. You continue to do it His way. He keeps giving more and more and more. But we just get to this point where we almost put blinders on and we're not seeing what God is giving to us. In your own family, look at what God is giving to you as an individual. Look what God has given to you. If you're in business, look what God has given to you in your work. I want to tell you something. I didn't even plan on saying this, but I want to tell you something. I've watched our young people grow. I've watched our young people grow in this church. I've watched our young people grow from junior high to high school to 20-year-olds, and now a lot of you are married, and some of you got one baby, and now a bunch of you are in a big race, and who's going to have the next baby sometimes. I see that. That's awesome. So you're building your families. But it was when you all started going to Sunday school classes and all those things, and you stayed focused, and you kept being faithful in church, you kept doing those things, and you're raising your kids up, and you're putting them in the same places where you used to go. You are a blessed bunch of young people. I know some of them are out today. Some of them are out on vacation. I know a couple that are doing that, but this is one of the strongest, most blessed young people I've ever seen. Y'all make more money than most of the people that are older than you. Did you know that? Most of the young people in this church make more money than the people that are older than you. That is a blessing. You've got good jobs. Who gave you those jobs? The Lord did. I'm looking around. I'm saying some of you guys are making $16 an hour. Some of you are making $20 an hour. Some of you are making over $20 an hour. And almost all of you are tithers. And then some. I am amazed, and as I watched this group of young people, it is amazing because you have stuck to the grindstone and you've learned to worship God through the sad times and the good times. And there's a blessing in not just being a hearer, but you are also doers. And I applaud you for that. And I say amen to that. Because that's what the scripture says. If you do this and not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And God has blessed many of you young people. I see that. I see it. I see it. You don't come just to come and be a part of some country club piece. You come and you know, and I don't mean to pick out names, but I'm just going to pick Tabitha out for a minute. But she came by and she says, you know, I'm on the nursery list, and that's the place I want to serve least, but I'm going to do it. That's not just being a hearer. That's being a doer. Amen to that? You young people talk to each other about your children. You don't see each other as much as you used to because you're doing all the baby things and all the raising, but you still have a connection. I'm very proud of the young people in this church. They're setting a good example. I wish some of the other churches in the community would know that it's not about getting into the little groups. You guys meet once a month. That's it. Once a month. But it's enough for a lot of you just to stay connected, because you can't do more than once a month, because you're doing other things in the church. You're doing other things. You got work. You're doing these. But you all try to connect at least once a month. I am very... I'm blessed as a pastor. This church is blessed as a pastor that we just don't have hearers, but we have doers. And I cannot keep saying it. I have to move on, but it is amazing because I want to stay there for a while. But I just want to say that this church is blessed, and part of that blessing is because you are not just hearers, but you are doers. You guys are pushing me. And I like that. You're pushing me, and I like that. And I see some things that are happening in this church. And it is amazing because God has chosen this generation, your generation, to do things that are bigger than yourself. So my challenge for you is to keep not to keep being doers of the word. And keep it up. Verse 26, he moves on and he says this. He says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious. You know, we have a problem in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'll say it because I know a lot of pastors in Fort Wayne of different denominations. And I do a lot of reading and my research of Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne is known as a city of churches. You know, we just had the Will Graham celebration that was up there. I was a part of that. I had to back out of some of that, but I was still a part of that very strong in the beginning, just because I had other things here and our pastor had left here and wanted over at Columbia City, so I had to really backpedal. But I did go to the event one night. It was amazing. But it was also, I was like, if this is the city of churches, if this is the city of churches, and I think the one night they had, was it 1,700, 1,500? I was amazed that that's, I mean, that just was, even if, let's just push it up to 2,000. Say they had 2,000 people on one night, even 2,500. That was not good for a city of county of 350,000 people. Yet it claims that it is religious. And they had a hard time getting pastors together because some of them said they were just too busy. My question is, busy with what? We had an encounter here in 2010 down here at the stadium, and I thought some of that was a flop in some sense of it. But somebody counted 700 people the first night. 700 people compared. I mean, at Fort Wayne has got this peace around them that they feel that they are religious. I can say that because I live there, okay? So I'm picking on my own place. And I know a lot of people. But I'm not saying all of them, but it's religious. Now, there are some good churches in Fort Wayne. Don't get me wrong. There are some awesome pastors in Fort Wayne. But overall, Fort Wayne is kind of a religious community, a religious city. And I want to say, well, what does it mean to be religious? Are we just going to do sacraments and do our things that we do, and we just check the boxes off, and we walk out the church, said, I did it, I'm religious, I'm good. I came to church on Easter, I came to church on Christmas, and everything else, I only come to church when I'm hurting, and you know, I checked them off. But I always look at saying, what does God say about that? He says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Okay? And then he goes on, verse 27, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. I love it. I love it how he puts it that way, because he says, you stand with your religious, whatever you want to say, your religion, you got to stand before God with it. And he is the examiner, not me. I wouldn't do very good at that. I'd probably be too pointy finger, and then I have to turn my finger on myself. But God is the one that judges it. And I like that, because I know whatever he says is going to be right. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Now, we do not have as much in the orphan field as we used to. Now we have what we call foster care homes. The foster care homes, I can tell you, I've been in some meetings. Foster care homes is kind of like they're struggling right now. They don't have enough people to do the foster care. Foster care is becoming a huge problem when it comes to finances and budgets. I was approached a couple of weeks ago asking, because people have heard about our vision about orphanage and working with young people or young kids. And they asked us when we were going to get it started. And I said, why the big rush? And the man said, because Children's Services has already spent their money, their budget money for the year. Folks, that was actually in September when he approached me. October, November, December, before they get any more money. We are building gymnasiums for fun. And I don't get me wrong. There needs to be fun. I love to play the sports when I was younger. I don't play anymore. No more. No more broken bones for me. But it is a great tool. It is a great evangelistic tool. So I'm not knocking the gymnasiums. I'm not knocking Upwards. Upwards, my boys played Upwards. It was a great program. But if Jesus isn't a part of it, if Jesus is not a part of the program, there's something wrong. Our programs need to have Jesus Christ in them. Amen? Amen. So when it deals with orphans, that means they have no one. When it deals with widows, they're on their own. And so we have here, God is saying we need to be providing. We need to take care of those who have a hard time taking care of themselves. I want to thank you right now that if you worked yesterday, we had a busy Saturday. Yesterday we had some people working over there at the Women and Children's House. Thank you guys, ladies, for doing that. Working over there yesterday. The thrift store was downtown. There were some of you working over there. And I was like, and then the soup kitchen was going on, and a little bit later in the day, and I was like, this church does not stop. Now, I will tell you this, those ministries are not my idol. Someone had talked to me and asked me that, so those are your idol. I said, those are not my idol. Jesus Christ is my God. Okay? Not those ministries. Those ministries is just what God called us to do. All right? God can call me in. If he wanted me to do something else, I would pack my bags and I will go. I will go. But he hasn't. I'll continue to keep doing these ministries because it's what God's called us to do. You continue to be a part of this church because God has called you here. God is using you here and you keep serving. But he says, if you want your relief, he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their times of trouble. God is still using this church in an amazing way. As I said last Sunday, it was a Sunday night, or it was two weeks ago, that this church is changing again. It is changing again. But it's okay. Every ministry we bring brings a little bit of hardness to it. Every ministry we bring brings a little bit of adjustment that the church has to make. And I think there's one adjustment that we have not got our eyes on, and we need to get our eyes focused on it. We need to be praying about it, because when we get the women with children, listen, I'm going back to you 20-year-olds again, these children are going to be rubbing shoulders with your children, and you're going to be tested. Because somebody's going to come up and say, Pastor Jimmy, I think that little boy over there's got lice. It's going to happen. And we're going to have to deal with that. But if you don't do it in love, you've done it the wrong way. Right? We need to address the problems that are going to arise. We need to address them, but we need to do it in love. Okay? In love. In love. All right? Now, with that also is we're going to have to work on the nursery. So maybe, Tabitha, working in the nursery, when we get some of these children with your career choice that you're making, this would be an area for you to really to see one-on-one on how some of these kids are. What I'm saying, folks, it's going to get a little bit more messier. But you know what? When I watched Jesus walk through the book of Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, he was always around messy people, wasn't he? And I love him for that. He didn't run from them. The only time he walked away from them was when he had to go somewhere else or when he went up on a mountain to pray. And you know what I think he was doing in his prayer time? I think he was praying a lot for them. I think he was praying a lot for those people that he just ministered to. And he goes on and he finishes this up and he says, not only do you visit orphans and widows in their trouble, but he says, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That means basically we sum it up, to keep ourselves clean in the world. Spiritually clean. Physically clean in the world. And we're to be different than the world. We are to be different. You know, the difference between what we do and what the world does is the government won't do anything until they get the money to create it, and they have to find the taxes and the budget to put it in. And they'll do it, and they'll squeeze it any way they can to create an area where they can work and help people. They do it by the money that they get. When you get called by God to do something, your trust is not in the money, your trust is not in the government, your trust is not in the tax brackets or any of those things over there and politicians. When you do it the way God tells you to do it, your trust is all in Him, 110%. Amen. That's right. He will fund it. If He called you to do it, He will fund it. He will supply it. And folks, He will build it. And we are an example of that. It's not that we are great. It's that He is great. Amen? Are we getting it today? We're going to go through various trials. It's just the way life is. We are. We're going to go through various trials. They're going to be different. Sometimes we're going to cause them. Sometimes somebody else is going to cause them. Sometimes there are circumstances that are out of our hands, but we are going to go through those. But we know that the Word tells us because we're going to go through those, the Bible tells us that we can ask, if we lack wisdom in it, that we can ask God for wisdom and He'll give it to us. We got to believe that He will give it. He will give us wisdom. I'm going through a couple of things right now that I know that I don't have the answer to, but I know who the one has the answer. Who has the answer? God does. And I believe His Holy Spirit will speak to me and give me the answer, because I believe that if I'm asking for the wisdom, God will give me the wisdom to get through these couple of things that I'm getting through, that I need to get through. Amen? That makes me feel good as a believer that I know who to go to, and I need to fill up a little bit with the Holy Spirit, and I know that I don't have the answer right now, but I know He will give it to me, because my faith is this, that Jesus can do all things. All right? But I also know that I need to be a first fruit. I need to be the best that I can be, not in my own power, because I can't do that, but I need to be the best first fruits in His power, letting the Holy Spirit lead my life, that I might be part of first fruits. I like that too. That's awesome, because I can't do that on my own either, and neither can you. But also know that I can't just be a hearer of what I'm hearing today, but that God says you got to be a doer. You got to be a doer. And when you're a hearer and a doer, then you're going to be blessed. The Word just said it. I didn't say it, but God's Word says you will be blessed. Amen. I love that too. I love the blessings of the Lord. But also it comes down and says, listen, if I think I'm religious and I got a religion and I do believe in Jesus Christ as my God, I believe that, my sins are forgiven, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, been baptized, I love it, love Him. He's my creator. I'm a creature. I want to say that. If you read the Holman Bible, it says I'm a slave to Christ. I'm okay with that. But if I'm going to be about the religion that I need to have in my life, I can't just be a hearer. I got to be a doer. But I know this, I got to be around people who cannot help themselves, who need a little bit of help, who need that touch of the Lord. And that's the things, there's some things that we can do as a church, and then there's some things we got to say, Lord, this is your part. Some things are just out of our hands. There are some things that just God can do, amen? There's some things just only He can do. And I love sitting back and watching Him do what He can do, because He's so big and so awesome. So what does all this mean to me? Is I need to grow up in my walk with Jesus. I need to continue to grow up in my walk with Jesus. I need to lead this church the way God's called me to lead it. Not in my own power, because that won't work, but in His power. I also know that I need to do this. I need to release more responsibility to many of you. And I'm going to do that here in the near future. There are some things that I cannot do, but there's some things that I know that you can do. So I'm going to be adjusting some things, and that's some of the things that I'm praying about. I know God's not done with this church. I know God's got this church for more things that it wants to do. But I know this, if we ever take Jesus out of it, it will be the fastest sinking church you've ever seen in your life. This church will sink faster than any other church you've seen, sunk, split, whatever, if we take Jesus out of it. So what does it mean? Jesus has to be leading this church. Jesus has to be the name we preach. Amen? Jesus has to be upon our hearts. But we must be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, that we might obey Him. And even when we have moments of sadness, we're still going to stand our post. And we're going to worship God in the good days, in the bad days, through trials and loss, that I might learn how to serve Him not only in the good times, but also in those moments. I've served Jesus with tears. And it's been hard at times. I've served, and I'm sure some of you have served Jesus in tears, where sometimes you just did not know how to get through something. Where you might have got a little loud with God. I've got a little loud with God a couple times, and He set me straight. I wrestled with God and the Holy Spirit several times. But I want to tell you, there's nothing sweeter than when God puts His hand upon you and whispers in your ear, it's going to be okay. God's got whatever you're going through. He's got it. You just got to keep seeking Him. So we're going to have a moment of, we're just going to go ahead and stand right now. If you'd like to come down and want to pray about your circumstances, we have an altar here. You can kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I will pray with you. But I'm challenging you today, don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer. And that don't mean just jumping into a ministry. It just means being a doer of what God is speaking to you about. And the things that you heard today, that you just don't hear them, but you apply them in your daily life. In your daily life. So if you want to come and you want to pray, that altar is open for you. And like I said, if you want to, for me to pray with you, I will pray with you. But I will tell you this, if you don't have a relationship with God, you have a relationship with yourself. And the relationship with yourself is not the greatest. You're making all your own decisions by yourself. You're living life by yourself. And you may have whatever you think you need. But when that day comes, when you don't have hope, when you feel like you don't have hope, I'm going to tell you, all those people that believe in Jesus Christ, we have something that you don't have. We have hope. And that hope isn't only in one person. That is in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you still have your sins. And I'll pray with you. And I'll talk to you about having a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus changed my life. Has He changed your life? Are you who you are today because of yourself or because of who Jesus is? It's because of who Jesus is, right? We do when we feel like God's just pouring blessings down on us and we're like, Lord, why are you giving me so many blessings? You know what we do with it? We praise Him for it. We thank Him for it. And then we ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do with it?